Good evening, everybody. Hello, hello. While everybody finds their seats, I want to say a huge welcome to everybody coming to the President's Dinner. We have a great turnout tonight. I realize that everyone is being served, and so what I am going to, and I'm Donna Pomerantz. Someone said, who are you? Yes, I know who I am. I'm Donna Pomerantz, and I think I'm from Pasadena. They say there's lots of thunder and lightning and rain over there. At least that's what I've heard. So, yeah, you guys have given it all to us. What I'm going to do is we're going to do introductions. And what I want folks to do, because our time is limited, I want to have you introduce yourself, your name, where you're from, and what chapter. And if you're an officer, please say what that is as well. So I'm going to come on back here. I guess Pam Metz has had beer already, huh? You know I'm teasing you. We're going to start over here with this person.
This person? What am I supposed to say?
Name, rank, and serial number. You're supposed to say that you're
second vice president. This is Roger Peterson. I'm second vice president of California Council of the Blind, and I'm from Mountain View, California, and I think that we should go counterclockwise because there's a very lovely person here that I want to introduce.
But it's an empty chair.
I jumped up, Roger. Here I am. I pulled a fast one on Roger. It's lit. This is Linda Dardarian. I'm here to address the dinner tonight, and I look forward to speaking more with you in a few minutes.
She's not an empty chair.
And I'm Rick Plath from beautiful downtown Burbank, and fortunately not an officer. I was for 12 years.
Good evening. This is Gabe Griffith. I am the CCB secretary. I am from Concord, California, and I'm the president of the Contra Costa chapter, otherwise known as that other chapter.
Yay. Here you go.
Well, thank you very much. Is it okay if I go ahead and thank these guys?
No.
No, okay. Hello, my name is David Jackson, and I wear many hats. I am a CCB board member and a member of a number of chapters. And I'm going to pass along the microphone.
Brian McCallan. I'm currently not a CCB member, but I'm looking into joining. And I have a couple of other friends who are CCB members, and I'm here along for the ride.
I'm from Livermore, California, by the way.
Caught me with lettuce in my mouth.
Put the microphone very close.
Okay. I'm Katrina McCurdy from San Leandro, California. I'm a president of the Alameda County chapter. We are having the Tupperware sale at our chapter, so come and see it. Anyway, okay.
Thank you. This is Susan Hyatt, and I'm the delegate for Council of Citizens with Low Vision.
I'm Bernice Candarian from Mountain View, California, and I'm the president of the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision.
Which side are you on?
Beryl Brown, Santa Rosa, Redwood Empire Chapter Treasurer.
Marie Herrera, East Los Angeles Chapter, board member.
My name is Pedro de Pacas, and I am the president of the Lowrider Association. Oh, no. Wrong place. This is Luis Herrera, East Los Angeles chapter president.
This is Margaret Buckman Garcia, vice president of the Yosemite Gateway Council of the Blind.
Jeff Tom, born in Santa Rosa, grew up in Redwood City, and resident of Sacramento.
Preston Moses, member of Bayview and Alameda Chapter, recording secretary for Alameda Chapter.
Nancy Shaw, Redwood Chapter, Santa Rosa.
Hi, this is Alice McGrath, and I'm a member of the Silicon Valley Chapter.
Rob Turner, president, Silicon Valley.
Frank Welty, Vice President, San Francisco Chapter, and member of Contra Costa Chapter.
Pamela Metz, President of the Greater LA Chapter.
Good evening. I'm Linda Porrell. I'm the President of San Francisco Chapter and a CCB board member.
I'm Kevin Berkery from Burbank, California. Glendale Burbank chapter, spouse of a president.
I'm Artis Bazin, Glendale Burbank chapter, and I'm a president, and I'm from Burbank. There
you go. I'm Robert Wint, and I'm the delegate from the Long Beach chapter.
Oh, thank you. I'm Gene Lozano, first vice president. Thank you. Sacramento, California.
I'm Mike Keithley. I'm the immediate past president of Silicon Valley Council of the Blind and also the delegate to the convention.
I'm Donna Sanchez, and I'm a member of the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, and I do the lunch orders there. I'm also on the nominating committee for California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, and I'm also the treasurer of California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. So if you have any dues, please come and see me.
I'm Bob Rennie from the Orange County chapter. I'm also the treasury for the chapter.
Bonnie Rennie, Orange County, and I'm the recording secretary.
I'm Joseph Lopez. I'm from Santa Barbara and a member of the San Diego Braille Club, and it's raining in Santa Barbara.
Hello, my name is Monique McCorley, and I'm vice president of San Diego Braille Club chapter.
Yes. Mitch Pomerantz, president, American Council of the Blind, and I am the delegate from the San Gabriel Valley chapter. Let's go that way.
Hi, I'm Marlena Lieberg, and I'm not president of anything. And I don't belong to anything, but you guys invited me here to speak to you this weekend, and I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Albert Contreras, I'm from Temple City. I am president of the Orientation Center Alumni Association.
I'm Pam Polgy. I'm the president of the San Gabriel Valley chapter and also the credentials chair, so you guys want to know me so you can get seated, okay?
I'm Liz Klein, San Francisco chapter, and the treasurer.
Peter Pardini, treasurer, California Council of the Blind, and I'm a member of the San Francisco chapter, and I live in Mill Valley, California.
Hobby Schumann, live in La Cagata, Flint Ridge. Marlena's roommate. And I'm a member of Greater LA and San Gabriel.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
I'm Mike Kastner, and president of Bayview in Oakland.
I'm Lori Kastner, and I'm a member of Bayview, live in Oakland, and I'm a spouse of the president.
Okay, did I forget anyone? Okay, I think I have everyone. Who did I forget? Okay, over there. She tells a partially sighted person over there, and she
right
points.
Hello. I'm Lena Bandy. I'm president of California Council of Blind Students.
Okay. Did I miss anyone else? Who did I miss? One person that arrived over there, over here.
I suppose it's me. This is Linda Johnson. I'm from San Mateo, and I'm a marriage family therapist.
All right, I think I have everybody, yes? Perfect. I need to warm up. I'm so cold, so, you know, running around is good. The next thing I'd like to do, and David, I haven't forgotten you, but we have Linda Dardarian here, whom we all know and love, and Linda's going to talk to the group for a little bit, and we are very, very happy to have you here, and Linda, it's all yours.
Thanks, Donna. Thanks so much for inviting me, Donna, to address the group tonight. Okay. Yeah, this one's much better. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening. Thanks so much to Donna for inviting me. I have a particular theme that I want to address with you tonight. As you may or may not know, my name's Linda Dardarian. I'm a partner in a national civil rights law firm called Goldstein, Demchak, Ballard, Borgen, and Dardarian. And for the past 17 or so years, I, along with my dear friend and colleague, Lainey Feingold, have been doing work for the American Council of the Blind and the California Council of the Blind, primarily in the areas of access to information and technology for people with visual impairments. The efforts that we've been engaging with for the CCB and the ACB include getting all the major banks in the country to develop and install talking ATMs, to provide accessible online banking, and as well as Braille and large print statements. We've worked with the ACB and CCB to get accessible websites from many national retailers like Radio Shack, CVS, Rite Aid, and as well as Major League Baseball's website, team sites, and for this new season, their mobile applications for iPhones. Yay. We've worked with ACB, CCB, and other affiliates to get tactile point-of-sale machines at major retailers across the country like Walmart, CVS, 7-Eleven, Trader Joe's, and Best Buy. And we've gotten accessible online alternative format credit reports from the three major credit reporting agencies. And Bernice is actually going to talk more about the credit report access tomorrow at the Information Access Committee. The focus of our work has been on making information and technology offered by major private companies accessible so that we can enhance people's economic and social independence and equality. And that fits squarely with the CCB's mission, which is the full independence and equality of opportunity for all blind and visually impaired Californians. So we're very honored that we have been able to work with CCB to help carry out that mission for the past 17 years, and we look forward to many, many more years of doing the same in the future. One of our biggest areas of focus in our current work, and what I'd like to stress tonight, is in the area of access to health information and services. Access to healthcare information and services is critical to one's independence and well-being. It is your civil right to have the same information about the information that's on your pill bottles, the information in your health care plan's explanation of benefits and coverage documents, information in pamphlets and brochures about treatment options for diseases and treatment of conditions, privacy notices and disclosures from your health care providers. You have the same right to that information as people who are sighted who can read standard print have. For that reason, ACB, CCB, and us and your lawyers have made access to healthcare information a priority for the last couple of years. Those efforts have resulted in the following recent successes and milestones. First, the American Cancer Society has entered into a settlement agreement with ACB to ensure that its website complies with the web content accessibility guidelines and that it provides specified documents and all brochures in large print and braille and provides all materials in electronic formats and audio CDs and MP3s. So if you need to get information from the American Cancer Society, you can call the toll-free number and request alternative formats, or you can obtain it from their website. Second, if you're a patient of the Sutter Hospital System, you can get talking pill bottles with prescriptions filled at Sutter pharmacies. Additionally, Sutter has a communication access policy for providing alternative formats for printed materials like patient disclosures and information sheets. They now have a policy and training on the policy for allowing patients to be accompanied by their guide dogs. And they also have a registration system for patients now so that your needs for alternative formats are flagged in the system so that you don't have to make repeated requests for alternative formats. And the Sutter chain is ensuring accessibility of its websites. Third, the next big milestone that we just reached today is that the CCB has entered into structured negotiations with the Kaiser Hospital System. That just happened this afternoon, so we're very happy about that. The subjects of the negotiations with Kaiser will include alternative formats for print materials provided by Kaiser, including braille, large print, audio, electronic files, and information provided over the internet in accessible formats. Ensuring that the Kaiser pharmacies and mail order properly provide talking pill bottles to patients with visual impairments. This is something that Barbara Rhodes fought very hard to get them to do, and they haven't been very consistent in following through with that over the past several years. We'll also be negotiating over accessibility to Kaiser's communication equipment and systems, such as the now visual paging systems in the laboratories and pharmacies. We're going to work with them to make those accessible to people with visual impairments. We will also be negotiating over architectural accessibility at Kaiser facilities, such as the installation of signage and removal of other barriers. We will be negotiating over training and internal monitoring of staff who tend to not really know how to properly treat people with visual impairments. And we will be ensuring that the new release of Kaiser's website is accessible for people who use screen readers and enlargers. Next, the ACB is in active and productive negotiations with Weight Watchers about the inaccessibility of the website tools for people who use screen readers and also for enhancing the provision of braille and large print materials that are that Weight Watchers provides to members at meetings and through the mail. We're making good progress on that. We hope to have an announcement about Weight Watchers within the year. We're also in negotiations with Blue Cross of California about its website and alternative formats for subscriber information, such as benefit booklets and explanation of benefits notices. And the newest thing to announce, aside from Kaiser, is that we have had a breakthrough in our negotiations with major retail pharmacy chains for the provision of talking prescription containers. For some time, CCB, ACB, and the AFB have been in negotiations with national retail chains, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Target, and Rite Aid to get accessible prescription information from those chains, both the to get talking pill bottles and to get alternative formats for patient information sheets that are handed out with prescription medications at the pharmacies. Some of you have read or may have read earlier this week on the CCB list that Walmart has announced, or that Envision America, the manufacturer of ScriptTalk, has announced that it is conducting a pilot program with Walmart for providing ScriptTalk readers and talking labels to patients who get their medications from Walmart. While that's true, that's only part of the story. The bigger story is that Walmart is doing this in collaboration with and cooperation with ACB and CCB, that this was, you know, our initiative to work with Walmart to get them to provide talking pill bottles. And the current status of the pilot is that it's for Walmart mail order nationwide, and currently it's just in a handful of stores in Alabama, Mississippi, and Colorado. That's just for a temporary time period to see if things go well with the logistics of the rollout. And if things go well, then we anticipate that the rollout will be permanent and much more widespread than it is right now. That's why it's just a pilot. It's to get the kinks out of the system until there can be a broader rollout. There is no limit to the number of people who can participate in the pilot. The ScriptTalk reader will be provided free of charge from Envision America, and the ScriptTalk label will be provided free of charge from Walmart. The prescription medication with the ScriptTalk label will be provided by Walmart, and if you have insurance that allows you to get your prescriptions from Walmart, then the pills inside the pill bottle will also be free, or whatever your provider charges. If you do not have Walmart insurance, you can still get your you can still get an Envision America ScriptTalk reader. You can still get your medications from Walmart. The device and the talking label will be free, but you would have to pay for the medication. The pilot is not limited just to people with insurance who Walmart approves as an insurance provider. And to get the ScriptTalk reader, you can contact Envision America. There's a toll-free number that's been posted on the CCB list. And to get the Walmart mail order delivery, Envision America will put you in contact with Walmart. And that's only part of what we're trying to get from Walmart. We're still in negotiations with Walmart, not only over a broader rollout of the talking pill bottle program, but also to get alternative formats for the patient information sheets in Braille and large print. So that's the current status of the Walmart case. One of Donna Pomerantz's themes, or something that she's really been stressing with us, is the importance of choice. CCB members want to have a choice. Choice is an important aspect of independence, and where we can get choice, we strive for it. We're hoping in the next few months to be able to announce that the community has choices about other pharmacy chains and other formats of talking prescription containers that they provide. We believe we're making progress with several of the other retail pharmacy chains, and that in the not-too-distant future, there will be additional choices besides Walmart and Kaiser for accessible prescription information. However, there's one retail chain that's been very reluctant to negotiate, and in fact has told us that it believes that accessible prescription information is not required under the law. And that company is Rite Aid. So we are preparing to file a complaint in federal court against Rite Aid on behalf of CCB and Rite Aid customers in California. If you are a Rite Aid customer, please call us. We want to talk to you. and at the close of my remarks, I'll give you our 800 number. You can also reach us through my firm's email address and Lainey Feingold's email address. We're looking to change the healthcare industry to make it accessible to people with visual impairments so that you have greater independence. If you have issues with any of these companies or with other companies that I haven't mentioned, please let us know. The role of CCB members is to be advocates, to ask for what you need from the companies, and when the companies don't give you what you need, then please feel free to contact me or Lainey or my associate Jason Terracone or my paralegals Scott Grimes and Damon Valdez. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-822-5000 or email at Lainey Feingold, lf@lflegal.com. So thanks again. I really appreciate having this opportunity to give you these updates. And I'm going to hand it back over to Donna.
Thank you so much, Linda. Thank you so much for coming. Oh, thank you. All righty. So I have another special person here who wishes to talk to the group very briefly. So I will go ahead and put him on. Give a warm round of applause for David Jackson.
Thank you very much. This is my, can you guys hear me? Yes. I have to eat the microphone. Thank you very much, Donna, for that kind introduction. I want to thank everybody here whom I contacted regarding their credentials and their roster and getting their information into the office on a timely manner. I'm not going to take up much of your time, but I do feel it important to acknowledge those chapters who did their due diligence and did get their information in on time. So again, thank you so much for that. I know that Ed was appreciative of that, as well as Donna and other folks in the organization. Again, thank you very much. Donna?
Okay, thank you. I'd like to see who would be willing to assist me in running the other mic. Peter will do it. Okay, thank you, Peter. Thank you, thank you. What I would like, you saw in the program. You got what?
Running all day.
Yeah, I know. Peter and I run all day. What I'd like to do is, and I'll actually switch because this one's hotter. What I'd like to do is, on the president's listserv a number of months ago, we had the beginnings of a great discussion on mentoring and bringing in new members to the CCB family. I think that a lot of people have some good things to offer, and I didn't let Frank know I was going to be doing this. So I'm going to ask Peter to go over to Frank. And Frank had a number of very, very good ideas. You know, it's been interesting because people have shared with me that, you know, CCB has a lot to offer. You know, we have people in certain areas, and how do we get them hooked up with chapters, you know, so that they could have a connection in the community. And I would like to have Frank share a little bit, as much as you'd like, about some of the great points, because we need to be concrete about this. We really have a lot to offer, and I want Frank to share a little bit about some of the ideas that he put out on the president's listserv to start a conscious effort in mentoring and recruiting and bringing people into the CCB family through the way that works best, which is through all of you, our local chapters and affiliates. So, Frank, I know it was quite some time ago, but if I can give it over to you for a bit, and then I'd like to start some more discussion after you're refreshed on what Frank shared on the listserv. So, Frank?
Well, Donna, thanks. This is going to be great. Let me tell you some thoughts I have, because membership is something that I do care a lot about, and it's something I've thought about quite a bit. First off, I want to give you some perspective here, because sometimes I think one of our biggest enemies in terms of our growth is that we feel like, well, there's nobody out there. You know, we've got everybody that we know who's already a member, or they're in some other organization, and so we can't do anything. Well, the truth of the matter is that if you look at the statistics on the number of blind and visually impaired people, especially, say, if you go to the American Foundation for the Blind website, they're currently saying that there are something like 21 million people in the United States who are blind or visually impaired. And the last figures I saw from them was, I believe it was something like 600,000 Californians who were blind or visually impaired. Now, think of that. That means that if we were to even get 1% of that population, which you have to agree would not be hard when, you know, if all you're looking for is 1%, we'd still have 6,000 members. So just as a rule of thumb, if you wonder what is the potential for growth in my chapter area, think of your city. Let's say you come from a city that's maybe 100,000 people. Roughly, you can assume that 2% of that population is blind or visually impaired. In other words, in a medium-sized city of 100,000 people, which is, again, medium-sized for California, that's 2,000 people that are out there waiting for you to meet them. So let's talk about some things you can do to meet them. First off, you can start by finding the people who are already actually connected to CCB, and they just haven't gotten connected to you. One thing that I've done on several occasions that's been helpful is that I have contacted the CCB office and also the ACB office and asked for a list of subscribers to the Blind Californian and the Braille Forum, respectively, in the zip code range that corresponds to my general area. For example, we did this for the Contra Costa chapter, and we asked them for subscribers who lived in the zip code of 945, because mostly the Contra Costa County is in that zip code, plus, you know, some others. But so based on that, we got something like a list of 65 people or so, if I remember correctly, who are already either CCB members or Braille Forum subscribers or something. So these are people that we wouldn't even have to tell them what CCB was, because they probably already know. A second thing you can do is to get your chapter and your chapter members in places where they will be visible, and get into the habit of watching out for people who may have connections to other people who are blind in the area. For example, when you get on the bus. What if when you got on the bus, you just made the comment to the driver, gee, do other blind folks ride your route? You know, and start a conversation on that basis. You might start meeting people that way. Or if your community has some kind of like a farmer's market or a community concert series at your local park or something where it's a public event where groups can have tables, then get a table for your chapter at one of these events and just be visible where people can see there's an organized group of blind people in this town. And gradually, and it may take some time, people will start coming up to you and saying, oh yeah, my nephew is blind. And he doesn't know anybody. And you can say, oh well, he can get to know a lot of people, just have him contact us. Now, so those are some ideas. In terms of keeping members and mentoring, I want you to remember three things. That in order for somebody to keep a long-term commitment to an organization, they need three things. First, they need a friend. So ask yourself how friendly you are. If somebody comes to your chapter, are you friendly? And I'm not saying ask the guy sitting next to you this question. Ask the only person you should be asking that question about is the guy in the mirror or the woman in the mirror. Because you can, well, nice try, Pam. Pam said can't see him. Well, whatever it takes, then just touch, then in that case, Pam, just touch your face. Okay. So,
touchy-feely, yes.
And try to be more welcoming to people. Just, I know it's hard. It's hard. Have to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. But I'm not asking you to be welcome to everybody. Just one or two people who you take under your wing, you know? And then the second thing that a person needs to stay committed to an organization is they need a responsibility. So get people involved in something, and especially, you know, whether it's getting on a committee or if you find that they're particularly interested in a certain issue, empower them, you know, back them up. See, like, if you've got somebody who's really concerned about transportation, and this is the person who always comes to the meetings and complains about the latest bad bus story, right? Well, encourage him to get involved in the local transportation accessibility committee, or to attend the transportation agency's board meetings and back him up, you know, like praise him for his involvement. You know, when he says that there's a meeting coming up, show up at the meeting. Just, and whatever the person, people are, work really hard to find something for them to do to contribute to the chapter. The third thing is you want to give people a way to learn. So that means, for example, that's why it's so important to always have speakers at your chapters as much as possible, so that when people come to the meeting, wherever they're at, they're going to learn something. And so by doing those three things, having a friend, a responsibility, and a chance to learn, you're going to hold people in your chapter and make them part of your community. And that's the last important thing to remember, is that we as CCB are California, the nucleus of California's local blind communities. We're not just an office for some agency on the East Coast that wants us to raise funds for them and do what they tell us to. We are grassroots organizations, each of us. Each of our chapters is the nucleus of the blind community in our community, in our city, in our county. And if we're not there, who is going to be there? It's got to be us. So let's reach out to our communities and let's strengthen our local communities. And the byproduct of that is that we'll strengthen CCB. Thanks.
Bravo. Okay, thank you. I knew you were the right man for the job. Now, and Peter's ready to dance and take the microphone around. I would like to hear from whoever wishes to tell us what you are going to do to implement that plan. What are you going to do in your local chapter, in your statewide special interest affiliate, to be a part of making what Frank put together happen? And Peter has someone. Who do you have there?
I have Gigi over here.
Peter has Gigi. Yay!
It's Gigi DeMarie, and I am from the Redwood Empire Council and the San Francisco chapter. What I'm going to do is be a mirror of somebody I want to recognize that has been the heart of our chapter. Way before, when I first started coming to the chapter, it was Beryl that was just the heart of the chapter. They have a welcoming center. And the first time I went there, Beryl wasn't there. I didn't feel welcomed, and I was gone for almost 6 months. And the second time I came back, Beryl was there. She was very warm, very welcoming. Frank, she invited me to take part in many things, and volunteering at the Welcome Center was one of them. And she began mentoring me. And now she's mentoring Kat Abbey. And Kat is getting ready to fly herself. So I'd really, Beryl does everything. We had, at White Cane Day, we went to the city council meeting to get a proclamation. And so several of us were there and on the floor, and they read the proclamation and presented it to Larry Hall. And then they gave Beryl such a wonderful, wonderful applause for being so dedicated to pedestrian safety. And she was recognized by many of the council members for her many years of hard work in that line of advocacy. So I don't want to call her the big kahuna, but she's the big mama of our group. And we just love her. And she's a perfect mirror for our chapter.
Okay, so who is Gigi's mentor? Beryl. All right. Anyone else have anything that they want to say that they're going to do to implement what Frank has said? Artists. Peter has someone else. Who is it?
Artists. I just wanted to say our chapter has just recently implemented a couple things, and we're going to do more. We have tried in the past to get people to come to our chapter and keep in touch, but we haven't been real diligent about it. We do have an email list, which I have a distribution list of anyone that has ever contacted me in our area to ask any question related to blindness. I ask them if I can put their email on my email list. So we have a lot of people that I send out messages to all the time, and not all of them are members. But some of them, I've sent them messages for 2 years, and then they finally come to a chapter meeting just by, you know, giving them information that they found useful. But recently we've been calling members that were members 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and our membership chair for our chapter has been real good about calling those that haven't been around. And even if they haven't agreed to come back to the chapter, they were just so happy to talk to somebody that was willing to talk to them about the chapter and about some of their issues and so forth and why they can't come. One gal's in a wheelchair and has real-time problem getting out. And, you know, just talking to them, people make them feel like they're a useful member of the community. We also we're implementing a mentor. If we have a new person come to a chapter meeting, we make sure that they sit by somebody that they can talk to. Now, I always go around the room, and because I sell the raffle tickets at our chapter, and say hi to everybody. But I don't want me to be the only person that says hi to folks. And so we've been trying to let them sit by somebody that's particularly chatty, because you know, some people just aren't very talkative. And you know who in your chapter is more friendly and likes to chat to just anyone. Just make sure you steer that newcomer or some of the quieter members to somebody that's more chatty, and it'll make them feel more welcoming.
Thank you, Artis. Okay, anyone else? What are you going to do to bring new members into your chapter or statewide affiliate?
Hi, this is Linda. As is my nature, I'm going to go a little bit psychological on everybody.
Get the mic.
A couple of minutes. It'll be good. You will enjoy it. Okay. First of all, I want to talk about that whole issue of being friendly or gregarious or welcoming. You may not know, you know, Frank says, look in the mirror. Some of us see more than others in the mirror. But anyway, look in the mirror and see if you're friendly. But I would also suggest ask people around you if they consider you a friendly person. As someone that I have been studying with recently talked about how, this is about yourself, you can't read a label from inside a jar. So get a sense from people around you as to whether you're friendly or not. And you don't need to be friendly to necessarily or gregarious or outgoing to a room of people. You need to be friendly to the person in front of you. So sit in your meeting, pay attention to, you know, I, as president, ask new people to introduce themselves as well. And, you know, make it a point to have a couple of people go up to that person and sort of watch them over time to see how they're fitting in and whether people are talking to them. So it doesn't have to be an overwhelming prospect. It only has to come from a deep interest in including other people.
I'm trying to be nice.
Uh-oh, I missed that. Okay, who's that?
Two things that Greater LA is trying to do. As president, we have been beating our heads trying to find ways to not only bring in members, but to keep our own members interested in what's going on in CCB. Two of the things that we've done, number one, we've moved from the LA proper to Sherman Oaks, which is still LA City. But we've moved to a more centralized area to get more people in the San Fernando Valley as well as L.A. involved in the chapter, because we need to figure out a way to get more people to come to meetings. Also, one of the things that I'm working on and is making sure that I have a speaker every month. The only month that we will not have a speaker is the month before our fundraiser and the month after our fundraiser. But I will make sure that we have a speaker every month to keep this way. What I'm working on I'll give you an example for June. I'm working on doing a panel on guide dogs versus canes. But my husband says I have to keep it positive, so I can't. I have to take the verses out of there. But so I'm trying to find, and I'm going to put it in the connection and on both listservs and get it out there and get more people involved. Call Braille and talk to some friends I have at Braille and see if I can get more people to the meeting this way and discuss issues versus canes versus dogs. So we're trying to find ways to, and it's hard work. It is very much hard work trying to come up with ideas and to keep people interested. I'm also trying to work on getting people just to tell a little bit of what they're doing in their lives every month. So pick a person to give and I stole that idea from artists, to give a profile or something every month to get the whole chapter involved and what's going on in our area and in our city, because LA City is huge. And we have a lot of things going on down there. And we need to get more people out, because the one thing I will not let I'll give you back the mic, is access. Unless they go to a meeting and unless they file a complaint, I don't want to hear it, because you're not doing anything about it. You're just complaining. You have to do something about it. You have to find a solution. And if you're not willing to find a solution, then there's no way to fix the problem.
Okay, and when we did it, we called it the pros and cons of guide dogs and canes in San Gabriel Valley. Pam, did we do that about a year ago or? Yeah, and Pam, that's great. Pam said something, and then I'm gonna let Peter give it to the person that he is by, but I want all of you to use the connection. The connection belongs to each and every one of you. And when you're doing programs in your chapters, when you're, you know, going to organize or go to a meeting, when you're going to do something like that, the president's listserv is great. I want you to keep posting your things on the president's listserv. However, I want you to post it in the connection as well. And remember, it needs to be there the Wednesday before, you know, that Friday. Gabe says it better. Because guess what? We have a number of people who are not members of CCB that subscribe to that connection. So guess what? We can all do that to bring members to our chapters or statewide affiliates, because they might read something that they're very interested in. And they might pay you a visit. You'd be surprised who shows up when you post things sometimes in the connection. So anyway, Peter, take it away. Who do you have over there?
I have Rob Turner.
Rob Turner.
Well, I took over the presidency of a chapter who I must say is very well organized. And two of the things that they do that I think help us retain members, and we're approaching the 100 member mark now, is we have a phone tree, and people are being called every month, being told what's going on and being encouraged to attend and just know that they're being, you know, being kept in contact. We have our newsletter, so that goes out to the members to keep them informed. We do try to introduce, make sure people who are new are introduced and have a chance to speak a little bit about themselves. So I just, this formula works. That's the way to go.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else? What are you going to do to bring new members into your chapter or statewide affiliate?
Okay, this is Linda Johnson, and it's just a general thing that I've been doing. I do a lot of counseling and primarily working with people with vision loss and such. But one thing that I've done with the clients that I've worked with, as well as the support groups that I've recently been facilitating, is really spreading the news about CCB. Go to this convention. This will be awesome. You will meet so many people. You can go to exhibits, and you will find out all this great information, what's available for you. And it's just kind of cheerleading them on, you know, and giving them a lot of support, and then even explaining to them, once you get here, you're going to be okay, you know, because a lot of these people are recently, you know, visually impaired or blind, and, you know, they're feeling fearful. And so if you let them know, too, like once you come to a convention or to a meeting, that you're going to be taken care of. You know, you're going to be okay. You know, you're not going to be stranded and alone. So that's just what I kind of do generally.
Great. Thank you. Very, very good. Anyone else? What are you going to do?
I'm going to get Beryl, and then I'll get Pam Apology next.
Okay. You're going to get Beryl. What are you going to get her?
A winning lottery ticket.
Woo!
And
okay, Beryl.
I just wanted to add something about what we've been trying to do this year. And again, it's dealing with speakers. And we have set up for the next couple of months, we'll have the Registrar of Voters that's coming to talk about the primary and the changes and bring the machine so people can play with it and learn how to use it before the next election. And then in June, we're having somebody from the Red Cross come and talk about disaster preparedness.
Great. Thank you. All right. And here comes Peter. He's wearing Ed's pink and purple polka-dotted skates today. That's what they said in general session. Tony Sauer saw that on Ed's feet. Pink and purple polka-dotted roller skates. Okay, Pam.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Peter. I have a little different twist that I'd like to add to this, if I could. I'm Pam Polgy, president of the San Gabriel Valley chapter, and I'm all for, thank you, I'm all for increasing numbers and increasing membership. I had a little message that I gave to the chapter when I became president just this last January. This is my first time. I'm still trying to get in the saddle. But I really think it's important to let people know that the people that are in my chapter or anyone's chapter, the importance of them as a person, not just how they can be involved in a committee or be involved in legislature or anything, but because they made the effort to call their paratransit or take a bus and get up early and come to the meeting, to me, that says volumes about their dedication to the chapter. And so I had a little message that I gave them, and I started a little experiment when I sent out, and I'm not a technology person, as Donna can tell you, but I have a real good brother-in-law who's the secretary there, and he sends it out for me on the email. And so I started asking for volunteers to do the things we need to do, like carry our microphone around the room like Peter's doing now at our chapter meeting. And also we have someone each month to present the invocation. And so different things like that. And, you know, every time that I've put that out there that I needed someone to do that, I have had Everyone has stepped up to the plate. I've never needed for anything. And as I told my chapter, I feel so blessed to have the honor of being their president. And, you know, I just think that as important as it is to find new members, and I do want to do that. And I hope as I'm going along in my presidency that I can bring more and not chase anyone away. But I really want to stress the importance of making people feel important, not by what they do, but by who they are. And I really appreciate your time. God bless you guys.
Okay, thank you. And bringing in new members and to your chapter or statewide affiliate is a very good thing, as well as, and Rob and Pam and a few others, both Pams actually, kind of touched on membership retention. That's also part of it, because you definitely want to keep the folks in your group that are already there. You want to make them feel that they are very important, that they are wanted, that they are needed, whether they love legislation, whether they are very into advocacy, whether they just want to come and sit and enjoy being around their peers. You know, it's okay for people to be where they're at in the group, because in CCB there's a place for everybody. You know, whether it's advocacy, whether it's social, whether it's peer-to-peer support. Some of what was discussed tonight was how to talk to people who are new to being blind. You know, that is happening all around us. I am getting a lot of email from a person who basically says one of the things they're saying on a regular basis in the email they send, they always end it by saying, CCB is there to be the support to people who think they are all alone. But we just need to let people know about us, who we are, what we do, where we meet, use the connection again, because we have members and non-members that use it. And the great thing about the connection is the fact that you can get it on email and you can call on the telephone. So you don't have to use technology to get the news of CCB. And remember, CCB is each and every one of you. So share what you're doing in your area. You know, share where you are, the meetings that you're having, the speakers that you're having, the fundraisers that you're having. I want to see a myriad of fundraisers and speakers and, you know, gatherings and things like that. Share that. Reach out to people through the connection and any other way that you feel that you are best to be able to reach out. And remember, mentoring each and every one of us can do it in our own way. It's important to reach out. It's important to make people feel like they belong and they have a place. And each and every one of us could think of one person who might be the reason that we are here. You know, there's always that personal connection or that one person that encourages us to stay. Each and every one of us has that. And we all have different things in common. And I want to go ahead and close this by thanking each and every one of you. And let's not stop. You will see within the next week a doodle poll come out on the president's list so that we can schedule our first president's meeting sometime in May. We have a group of presidents who have agreed to help those who aren't as comfortable with technology. So those of you who said you're ready to help and were thinking, she forgot. Oh, we're never going to do it. Guess what? We are going to do it. We're going to have the meeting in May. And the other thing I want you to watch for is we are going to be putting a note out onto the president's list to encourage people to join. Right now we're starting with the seniors committee. And, you know, watch for that letter. Share it with your chapter members. it's up to you to bring all of this back to your folks in the local grassroots, because it takes all of us to make a difference, and together we can do it. Thank you, and see you guys tonight. Have a... Oh, I heard someone call. Okay, and I need you to do it in 1 minute, because folks need to get back to do what they need to do before they go to general session.
Oh, so. Thank you. One of the things that we started doing this year is sending out the minutes on email and not reading them at the meetings. And when I get the minutes, I send them to people on my contact list that are not members that I hope will be.
That's a great idea. Thank you, thank you. And we'll see you guys at general session, where there might be more fudge and money and all kinds of good stuff. And we have a great program, so we'll see you in a bit. Thank you.